Okay, so just for, finishing off now over the next half an hour, 45 minutes, and the fundamental thing I really want to talk about now is personal practice, formal practice. There's a reason that yoga or meditation or mindfulness is called a practice. It's a yoga practice. It's a meditation practice. It's a mindfulness practice. It's because we're practicing it. That's what it is. We're not experts at it. It's something that has to be practiced. And the way in which we practice is important. The way in which we practice makes a difference. There was a good podcast on ABC Radio National recently. I'll send you a link to it, actually, called Practice Makes Perfect. And they examined the science behind the types of practice that we can do and the effect that it has. And in particular, they looked at violin players. And they compared a group of violin players who had a deliberate practice on their own, in isolation, with a group of violin players who went and practiced in a group environment. And when they finished the scientific study, whilst the people who practiced in a group environment had lots of feedback, you know, that it was really good fun and made loads of friends and went down the pub afterwards, it was the violin players who had a deliberate, conscious practice on their own who were far superior violin players. Now, we're not talking about playing the violin here. We're talking about something far more important. We're talking about practicing the skill of inhabiting your own mind, your own body, your own emotions. So, if you want to get really skillful at inhabiting your own mind, your own body, your own emotions, if you really want to improve that self-mastery, you have to have a practice on your own, a deliberate, conscious self-practice. This is what the formal practice is about. It's the only way. You know, I hear some people say, oh, I don't need to sit down and do my practice. I just do my informal practice during the day. And whilst that is beneficial to really get the results, you have to have that formal, deliberate, intensive practice as well to help the informal practice. And of course, this deliberate practice starts to create results. When we see the results and the benefits, we become motivated by that to do more practice. And actually, what they've found through scientific studies is that the more we practice, initially as we're practicing, there's greater activation in the brain as we're practicing and we're trying and putting the effort in to practice. What they actually find is after a while, the activity in the brain peaks and actually decreases. And what that shows is that with enough practice, after a while, you don't have to try as hard. You don't have to put in the same level of effort. The effort that you have to put into it reduces. And of course, this is a great thing. You know, initially, we might have to put in quite a bit of effort, but after a while, that effort reduces. But a lot of people struggle with establishing a personal practice in their lives. And there's a few major obstacles to that. Anyone guess what the number one obstacle is? Time, of course. Time, that old chestnut. Never got enough time. So I'm going to smash that obstacle for you guys today, this afternoon. We're going to make sure time's not an obstacle. So I'm not going to teach you an hour practice. I'm not going to teach you a half-hour practice. I'm not even going to teach you a 15-minute practice. I'm going to teach you a 10-minute practice. It's actually gone up, actually, from our weekend retreats, which is a 7.5-minute practice. I thought you guys were a bit more advanced. You've come from an intensive mindfulness training retreat, so I thought we could push it to 10 minutes. So I'm going to teach you a 10-minute practice. So, and look, it is short. You know, it is better to do more than 10 minutes, but the most important thing is to establish a practice. It's much better to establish a practice in an easy way. Don't try and make it too hard for yourself. If you're struggling to get established in a daily practice, make it easy for yourself. Start short. And then, maybe in 3 months, or 6 months, or 9 months, or whatever the time period is, when you've really established that rhythm of doing a daily practice pretty much every day, then go crazy. Then go 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Do it twice a day, whatever. But establish it first. Establish that habitual pattern first before you start trying to do too much. I think I said this to someone earlier, much better to do 10 minutes every day than an hour, never. You know, an hour, never, or even an hour once a month doesn't help. So keep it short. Set the commitment. You've got the intention to do it every day. That's got to be the commitment. Look, if occasionally something happens out of the ordinary and the odd day it doesn't happen, that's not the end of the world. Don't, you know, critique or judge yourself too harshly for that. But the intention has got to be, I'm going to do this every day. If you start getting into the habit of, I'm going to do it on Mondays and Wednesdays. Saturdays I like reading the paper, and Sundays is my lying, and Mondays I'm too stressed for work, and Tuesdays I've got the midweek blues. And, you know, once you start playing those kind of excuse games with yourself, then you don't do it at all. So you've got to set the intention, I'm going to do this every day. And if you want to give this a go, give it a go for 3 months. Try and do it every day for 3 months, even 10 minutes every day for 3 months. And don't judge it during that 3 months. Say, I'm going to try this every day for 3 months. And then at the end of the 3 months, judge it. And ask yourself the simple question, am I getting benefit from this? Is it making a benefit to my life? Is it benefiting me? If it's not, don't do it. Do something else. I don't know. Take up surfing, or go and find a different thing. Take up Tai Chi, or I don't know, find something else. Take up art, or find something else that can benefit you in your life. There's lots of things out there that can be meditative and meditation and mindfulness, but give it 3 months. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to teach you a 10-minute practice. Now, you can do whatever practice you like, of course. If you want to just do a seated meditation practice, that's fine. But the one I'm going to teach you consists of three things. It's going to consist of movement. It's going to consist of regulation and control of the breath. And then it's going to consist of awareness. So we're moving through three levels of increasing subtlety. So, for example, if you've got a really busy mind, you might want to focus on the movement. Because when you're doing the movement, it's easier to focus the mind. If your mind's not that busy, you want to move a bit more subtle, then you do the regulation of the breath, the counting the breath or the alternate nostril breathing. If you're feeling pretty cool and pretty balanced and you're ready for it, just do the seated awareness meditation. But if you're sitting in awareness meditation and, you know, you just cannot stop your mind, constantly getting lost, you're getting frustrated, it's actually having a negative effect on you, then don't do it. Do a moving meditation instead. That's absolutely fine. Okay, so I'm going to teach you the three in a row. We're going to do 3 minutes of each. and this, you know, this is something you might want to do. You might want to do your own. So come to a standing position. You don't need a mat. You don't need anything. That's the good thing with these things. You can do it wherever you are. So your first mindfulness exercise is to stand. Just stand. Stand in a mindful way. So close your eyes. Just feel the feet connecting to the ground, your big toes, your little toes, the outside edge and the inside edge of your heel. Notice your weight and how that's balanced between the front or the back, the left and the right. And then move up your body, feeling the muscles in the legs. So the legs are a little bit active. You're not just completely floppy. The legs are a little bit active. Feel the tailbone tucked slightly in. The spine nice and tall and long. The shoulders relaxed. The arms relaxed. And actually have your fingers actively spreading and pointing down. Have your fingers active. And then just tune in to the sensations that you can feel within your body. And then tune into your breathing, noticing the four parts of the breath, the inhale, a slight pause, the exhale, and the slight pause. then as you're doing this, just notice how a soft, relaxed breathing feels like. Just notice what it feels like to have a relaxed breathing pattern. And also notice what it feels like for your face to be relaxed. The muscles in the forehead to be relaxed. The muscles around the eyes relaxed. Actually just maintaining that soft breath and that soft face will actually prevent you going into a lot of the stress response modes. Bhasha might have mentioned, you can actually use your breath and your facial expressions like the canary in the cage down the coal mines, on alert for any gas leaks. You can see your face and your breath as being alert for any stress. When you notice your face starting to scrunch up and your breath becoming louder or more rapid, that's a sign you're triggering your stress response. Good, opening the eyes. Just going to do some gentle arm raises. Inhale, raising the arms, arching the back. Pause. Exhale, lowering down. Just do a few more of those with your own breath, your own movement. You can have eyes closed or eyes open, whichever you prefer. Just linking that breath to the movement. Mind wanders, just bring it back to the breathing and the moving. Noticing your balance, your muscles, the weight of your arms, the arch of your spine. On the next inhale, actually coming up on the toes, you'll have to open your eyes for this one. This is just testing your balance. Exhale, lower down slowly so the heel touches the ground at the same time as your arms come down by your side. Just continue like that. Make sure your face is staying soft and relaxed. Your breath hasn't become more stressed. And then on the next exhale, as well as coming down onto our heels, we're going to do a gentle forward bend. Bend the knees so there's no strain and touch every single fingertip and thumb tip to the ground at exactly the same time. Inhale, coming up, arms over the head. Pause. Exhale, folding forward, fingertips and thumb to the ground at the same time. Just continue like that. Seeing if you can precisely touch every single fingertip and thumb tip to the ground at exactly the same time. Seeing how completely mindful you can be of your movement. Noticing the sensations in your spine. And then the next time you come into the forward bend, just staying in the forward bend. And just taking a few deep breaths. Make sure your neck is hanging nice and loose. Bend the knees as much as you have to be able to touch the floor. And just focus on your breath. So this could possibly be your only chance during the day that you have of lengthening your spine, creating some space between your vertebrae. So use this, use your out-breath to soften your torso towards your thighs. Use your out-breath to envisage more space being created between your vertebrae of your spine. Breathing, feeling, and softening. Breathing, feeling, and softening. More breaths. Good. Good, and then coming up. Great, so we're going to do a little lunge now. So taking a nice big step back with your right foot. Having your hips face towards the centre of the room. Inhale, arms up in the air, bending that front knee. Exhale, lower, arms by the side. Again, inhale. Exhale, just continue like that. Just do a couple more like that. Each time, bending that knee a little bit more. And then the next time you go into that lunge, just staying in that lunge for a few breaths. Just noticing how you have to work really strongly with your legs, that back leg in particular. Really strong, really pressing into the ground. So this is a good example of a situation where we have to maintain our strength, but also our softness. So even though we're working part of our body really strongly, we're also staying soft with our breath and our face. Good, and relax. And then swapping round. Hips facing forward. Inhale, raising the arms into the lunge. Exhale, low down. Just continue to move in and out of those postures. Each time perhaps going a little bit deeper. And then perhaps the next time you go into the posture, just holding that posture, going as low as you can. Notice any tendencies to slide, noticing your balance, noticing the strength in your legs. Good, and relax. Great. So coming to a seated position on the floor, on a chair. So we're going to do our deliberate control breathing now. So you can do anything here, but we're going to just do the alternate nostril breathing. It's something that can help still the mind because it's something you have to consciously do with closing one nostril and closing the other. So this is where we fold our first two fingers over with our thumb and our third finger. We're going to close the nostril. So closing the right nostril. Inhale left. Closing left, exhale right. Inhale right. Closing, exhale left. So that's one round. Inhale left. Close, exhale right. Right, close, exhale left. That's two rounds. Do another four rounds on your own, establishing your own rhythm, your own pattern. Once you've finished your four rounds, you're just going to sit in awareness meditation. I suggest sitting in the one where you're just watching the stream of thoughts from the side of the river. If you have another technique which you find works better for you, then that's okay too. Otherwise, just being the observer, watching those thoughts appear and disappear, noticing the quality of the thoughts, the emotional charge of those thoughts, perhaps observing whether those thoughts are particularly attractive or repulsive, observing which thoughts might be commentary or self-judgment. As you sit on the side of the river, watching the constant flow of thoughts and sensations and emotions pass down the river, if you find yourself lost in thought, if you found yourself fallen in the river, then just climb out and sit on the side again and continue to watch. If you find you become distracted, it's okay. Just with gentleness and compassion, bring yourself back to your practice. Watching the stream of thoughts, just observing the qualities, being attentive to when they appear. Good, so just bringing yourself around now, opening your eyes. We did a little bit longer than 3 minutes in that second bit, but what that gives you is three different components: the physical moving component, the regulation of the breath, and the seated meditation component. Just depending on how busy your mind is, what feels right for you at any time. Sometimes if you're really frazzled, just trying to sit in an awareness meditation isn't going to happen. There's too much momentum in your thinking mind. So in something like that, doing something physical is quite advantageous. So just to summarize really for us then, really, over what we've done over the last 24 hours. So this is the definition we used. Mindfulness is the paying attention on purpose in the present moment without judgment. I recommend trying to memorize that. It's good to memorize that, to keep reminding yourself what it is. Paying attention on purpose in the moment without judgment. And we know it consists of both the formal and the informal practice. The formal regular practice is like our training, and the informal practice is really the application of that training during the day, consciously looking for those moments where we're triggered, that we can really see it as an opportunity to put our practice into place. And remind ourselves of the benefits as well, you know, why we do this: for increasing our resilience, increasing our decision-making abilities, our ability to handle complex relationships in a non-reactionary way, to respond instead of react. That's another good one, respond instead of react. And also for our general health and well-being, so we're not triggering our stress response, that we are in the rest and digest part of our body and actually doing that repair work, letting our body do that repair work to its DNA, to its cells, to the digestive system that it needs to do. But we've got to put the effort in for that to happen. If you want to give it a go, commit to it for 3 months. I'll send you all an email afterwards. I'll send you a copy of that 10-minute practice. I'll send you a copy of the MP3s from all of the different discussions and the meditations and stuff, so you can listen to that again if you want. But if you're going to give it a go, give it a go for 3 months. Try and have that deliberate practice every day for 3 months and wait till the end of that and see what benefit you get. There's no other reason to do it apart from getting benefit. It's a very selfish thing in some ways, you know. It's all about you. It's all about helping you to benefit your life.